We're going to be learning Kutisichas Chelech Chaf, the second sicha for Parshas Vayigash. In this sicha, we're going to be discussing a very famous question, which is that when Yaakov and his family left Mitzrayim to go down, left Eretz Yisrael to go down to Mitzrayim, it says they left with 70 people. The household was 70. But if you do a count of each of the individuals mentioned, you only find 69. So in this sicha, we're going to go through the different pirushim, and the Rebbe is going to discuss the sparsa machlokes between them. So the first part of the shir, I'm going to be focusing more on the Medrash and the Meforshei HaTorah, which are quoted in the Ha'aris, just to give you a general background of the sugya, and then afterwards we're going to go into the questions and the explanation that the Rebbe gives. So in the Gemara in Baba Basra, this is in Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Gemara tells us, ask this question. Alachaira, if you do the general count, you find that the Bechlol Mata Maitza, you'll find that there's 70. But if you do the individual count, the Pratan Yata Maitza, you only find that there's 69. So the Gemara says, this is Yecheved. By Yecheved, he rasa bederech, but really dasa bein achaymas, that they were pregnant with, her mother was pregnant with her bederech, and the birth was bein hachoymes, meaning she gave birth in Mitzrayim. So who is the 70th person that isn't counted? That's going to be Yocheved. And that actually answers two questions. First of all, it answers our question that we said that there's 70, B'chayr says that there's 70, but there's only 69 counted. And so we're saying the 70th person is Yocheved. And it also explains that in the Pesukim, if you look by the children of Leah, it goes through the count. It says that the children of Leah were 33. But if you count each individual name that is mentioned in the family of Leah, you actually find 32. So who is the 33rd person? That would be Yocheved, who is the daughter of Levi. So why wasn't she mentioned Beferish in the Pesukim? Why do we need a Medrash? Rashi also quotes this in the Torah, but why doesn't it say clearly in the Pesukim that Yocheved was one of the individuals that came down to Mitzrayim? So the explanation is because she actually didn't go down with them. That's the point. She didn't go down with him. Rather, her mother was pregnant with her, but the birth was actually only happened once they came into Mitzrayim. So therefore, she's counted because she's one of the ones that would be considered part of the family. But on the other hand, she's not mentioned explicitly. So she's somewhat of an in-between type of stage. Exactly does it mean? So if you look at the Mepharshim, there's two general ways of explaining it. You look at the Rashbam in the Gemara. The Rashbam wants to explain that it means is Leidasa Ben Achaim. It means that she was born inside of the walls of Mitzrayim, and it's really just to contrast it to the first part, that her mother was pregnant with her while they were traveling, and as opposed to the traveling of Bederach, the birth was within the city. So it's just to really contrast it. But Rashi Alachumish and the Mefarshi Rashi explain that there's a second way of understanding it, and this seems to be also the way of the Medrash, that she was literally born Bein HaChoymes. As the Medrash says, that she was born within the gates of Mitzrayim. And the Maskil of David explains because Mitzrayim had two sets of walls. And what happened is, between one set of walls and the second set of walls, which was for security, she was born. Others want to just say it was one wall, but it was a very thick wall. And to go from the entrance to the entrance and the exit of this particular wall was actually quite a distance. It could be 10, 15 feet. As we know that the walls in the olden days were quite thick. So therefore, the point was, as soon as she entered into the walls of the city to go through the gate, that's when her mother gave birth to her. And even halachically, the idea of the walls of the city, there's a halachic question, what is the status of the walls of the city? If you're within the gate of the city, is that considered you're inside of the city, or is that considered you're outside of the city? And we actually studied it a while back in one of the sichas that the Ragachava has an interesting chiluk. He says it's really both and neither. So therefore, for halachas, that you need to be within Yerushalayim, that it's not within Yerushalayim. Let's give an example. Yerushalayim was a walled city. So let's say for halachas, you need to be within the walled city. For example, you need to be within Yerushalayim. It would not be considered that you're within Yerushalayim. But for halachas, which are relevant is that you can't be outside of the walled city. For example, you can't be outside of Yerushalayim. Then that's not either considered outside of it. What's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina, I believe, is, we learned this a while back, but the nafkamina, if I remember correctly, was Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni has to be eaten within the city. Also, kachim need to be eaten within the city of Yerushalayim. So you would not be allowed to eat it within the gate. But kachim only becomes pasul because you took it out of Yerushalayim only if you actually took it out of the gate. So if you took the kachim and brought it into the gate of Yerushalayim within between the walls, it wouldn't pasul it, but you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. If you took it out, then it's pasul. If you bring it back in, then you could eat it. So that would be this interesting idea. And the idea is because the walls of the city are really like mamutza. It's not part of the city, but it's not also considered outside of it. But on the other hand, it has certain parts of it which are similar to outside and certain parts which are similar to the inside. So it's like this quasi type of twilight zone. And that would explain in a much better way or deeper way why Yocheved on one hand is part of the 70, but she's not counted Beferish because she's somewhat of this quasi type of state, of status. Rashi Alatera quotes out it's Yocheved. And he does this for two reasons. Why does he learn that it's Yocheved? So first of all, as we mentioned, it's one of the family members of Bnei Levi, of Leah that are missing. So it needs to be one of Leah's children. That's what the pasuk says. It says that her the kol nefesh banav ubenayis shloishim v'shtayif, that the every family member of the sons and the daughters were 33. So l'chayra, that means it was one of the people of Leah's family. Furthermore, in the Pasuk, Perek Memvav, Pasuk Zayin, right before they start the count, it says that he came down with his sons and his daughters and Benois Banav. So in addition to his sons and his daughters, he came down with his granddaughters, the daughters of his sons. But if you look into the count, there's only one granddaughter mentioned, which was Serach Bas Asher. So the only granddaughter mentioned is Serach Bas Asher, but it says Benoisav. So there must have been at least two granddaughters. So who was the second granddaughter? That again would have been Yocheved. That was Noel de Ben Achimus. So that would be a further proof. Even though the Rebbe does point out that it says earlier Benoisav uBnei Spanav. If you look through the count, there's actually only one. It says Benoisav his daughters, but there's only one daughter mentioned, which would have been Leah, Dina. So why does it say Benoisav? There's only one of them. The Rebbe's Mitzayin to Rashi earlier on in Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Lamed Hey, where it tells us that sometimes you call the daughter-in-law's daughters, or you call the some say that there were twins that were born with the with Shvatim. Either way, so Benoisav, there are different interpretations that Rashi gives, but regarding the Benoisav, who were the granddaughters, it must have been Yocheved. So those are the two proofs of Rashi that it was that it was Yocheved. There is a second shot. The second shot that the Mefarshim bring, it's also brought in the Medrash, that it was Yaakov. The Ibn Ezra wants to say that it was Yaakov. And his main proof is because it starts, the Parsha starts off like this. This is in Pasuk Ches. It says like this. It says, Elu Shemois B'nei Yisrael B'ayim Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avanov. These are the names of the B'nei Yisrael B'ayim Mitzrayim. And it says right away, Yaakov Avanov. And it goes into who the children were. B'chor Yaakov Ruvain, and then B'nei Ruvain Chanoichu Falu. So it tells you at the beginning that it's Yaakov. So therefore he says, clearly Yaakov is part of the count. And therefore, the way how you would read by the B'nei Leah, you'd have to read it, Eile B'nei Leah Shal Yodol Yaakov. These are the children of Leah that she bore for Yaakov, Bepadan Aram, the Eis Dina Bitai, and also Bitai, Kol Nefesh Banav Beneisa Shleishim Shleish, all of the his family members, the sons and the daughters, including himself, would be 33. So you have to kind of read it that these are the children Ashal Yodel Yaakov are 33, including himself. So that's how the Ibn Ezra wants to say it. And he also gives a logical proof for it. He says, because why wouldn't you count Yaakov? He says, his lashon is, Yaakov is the Ikar HaNefesh. He was the patriarch. He's the Ikar HaNefesh. What would be the logic that you wouldn't be counting Yaakov? Alamai, it makes sense that Yaakov would be counted. So that is the Ibn Ezra's pshat. Why doesn't Rashi like his pshat? The papash is for two reasons. First of all, because many psukim are mashma that Yaakov is not part of the count. First of all, it says, Kol HaNefesh, the base Yaakov, Abba Mitzrayim Ashivim, Kol HaNefesh, the base Yaakov. So, you're saying that the household of Yaakov was 70, which is Mashba, that Yaakov is not part of the household. That particular proof you could argue on. Some want to say Beis Yaakov. It makes sense to include Yaakov as part of his household. Some would say Beis Yaakov means without him. So that proof is actually debatable. But besides for that, there's a much more clearer one. It says, this is in Shmois, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hei, it says, Pihi kol nefesh yoytze yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh. It says that the nefesh of the yoytze yerech, of his children, the Yitzhak Yaakov is an expression of his children. It says his children were 70. So clearly that would not be including Yaakov. Also by Leah, it's a little bit of a deichik to say, called the nefesh banav b'neisav, shloshim v'shloshim, means that his children, that the count is including him. So these psukim are mashma that Yaakov would not be part of the count. Therefore, Rashi doesn't learn that way. The Ibn Ezra is bothered with this problem. And he wants to say is that even though it says in the Pasuk called Nefesh, Yetze Yerech Yaakov Shiva Nefesh, it means because Torah al-Roif Tadaver, it means since the majority of the people are his children, therefore it says Yetze Yerech Yaakov Shiva Nefesh, but technically only 69 out of the 70 would have been his descendants. And he even brings the proof because it says in another Pasuk that B'Shiva Nefesh Yordu Avisecha Mitzrayim, that was 70 souls, your ancestors went down to Mitzrayim, and we know that it wasn't 70 that went down to Mitzrayim, because Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim were already there. So why does it say that there were 70 that Yordu? It wasn't 70 that Yordu. Elamai, the Torah al-Roif Tadabri means most of them were Yerud L'Mitzrayim, even though Menashe and Ephraim were technically born there. So same thing over here, it says Yotze Yerach Yaakov, this is B'chlolos, Banavu B'naisav, it means B'chlolos. So these Banavu B'naisav were Shloshim L'Shloshim, including Yaakov would have been 33. So that is the Ibn Ezra's. But Rashi, as I said, is learning more, even more pashtus, that these psukim are mashma, that it's not including Yaakov. So therefore, Rashi does not want to learn. As we said, Rashi had a few proofs. First of all, these psukim are mashma, that it's not Yaakov. We also had the pasuk that says ubnois banav, and we only mentioned one granddaughter. So therefore, it's mashma that there was another granddaughter that went down to Mitzrayim. Furthermore, this is R16. The Rebbe brings from the Dikduke Rashi. That he says that if you look by Rachel, Rachel has a title. It says, Rachel, who is Eishes Yaakov. And Rashi says, what does it mean, Rachel, Eishes Yaakov? Because she was the Akeres Habayis. And why is that relevant at this point of time to tell us that Rachel was the Akeres Habayis? This is not the first time she's mentioned in the Torah. Why over here does it need to tell us that she's the Akeres Habayis? He says, because this is the proof that Yaakov was not counted in this minyan. He says, because if Yaakov would have been counted, who should he be counted with? He should have been counted with the children of, with Rachel, because Rachel was the Keres Habayis. So it doesn't make sense for Yaakov to be counted with Leah. It says, the Leah's children were 33, including Yaakov. That Yaakov's children from Leah were 33, including himself. Why would you count Yaakov with the Bnei Leah? L'chayr, since the Keres Habayis was Rachel, if you're going to count Yaakov with one of the families, you would count it with the Keres Habayis, which would have been Rachel's family. So that would be another proof that the Dukte Rashi says why Rashi Dafka wants to learn Zayt Tzurcheven and not Yaakov, because if Yaakov is counted, it would the remes for it would have been by the children of Rachel. It should have said that Rachel, instead of having 14 kids, it should have said she had 15 kids, which would have meant 15 including Yaakov, not by Leah. So those are so far two pshatim. One, again, Rashi says it's Yocheved, and that's also mentioned in the Medrash, and we have the Ibn Ezra and others who want to say that it's Yaakov, and that pshat is also mentioned in the Medrash. We have a third pshat which is mentioned in the Medrash, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifnas Imam B'minyan, that it was Hashem. Who was the 70th? That was Hashem. When it says in the Pasuk, all the Nefesh, the word Kol is a remez for Hashem, because of course Hashem is Kol HaNefesh. He is all life. The Pirkei Eliezer brings a proof that it was Hashem. How do we know that Hashem went down with the Yidden to Mitzrayim? Because it says, Anoichi Erid Imcha Mitzrayim. Hashem said that I will, Anoichi Erid Imcha Mitzrayim, that I will go down with you to Mitzrayim. So we see that Hashem did go down with the Yidden to Mitzrayim. So since the count is 69, and we have another pasuk that says Hashem came down with us, Hashem would be the 70th that came down. So those are three perushim of who they are. In Ha'ara 11, the Rebbe brings three additional interpretations. Two of them are from the Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah says, Yeshayim in as Hushim ben Dun, the Hushim, the son of Dun, was Mashlan Minyan, and Yeshayim, it was Serach Bas Asher, his Shlima Yimayim as Minyan, that was Serach Bas Asher. The problem is, as the Meforshim point out, that Hushim and Serach are clearly mentioned in the count. So they're already part of the minyan of 70. So how could you're basically counting them twice, which doesn't seem to be very logical. And therefore, in the Mefarshim, I have to give different types of pshatim. Just to give an example before we get to the Rebbe's pshat, that they want to say Chushim ben Dan. If you read in the pasuk, it says Bnei Eli Bnei Dan, Chushim. That who are the children of Dan? Chushim only mentions one child. So the question is, why does it say these are the children, which is Blashan and Rabim, and then just say Churim, which is of course only one son? So it says this is the son of Dan, not these are the sons. If there only was one son, so therefore they understand it to mean that's because Chushim really had a brother that went down with them to Mitzrayim, but he died before he had any children, so therefore there's no remez for him in the Torah what his name was, because he didn't survive and he didn't have family. I guess he was a young kid, didn't get married, didn't have any children, and he died at some point later. So he's part of the count, but on the other hand, he's not one of the nefashis that really came down with them and stayed with them in Mitzrayim because he passed away. It's one pshat regarding Tzerech Bas Asher. Why would she, again, she's also already part of the count, so they want to say that Tzerech was such a tzedekis and she had such a long life. She was alive for such a long time and she was such a tzedekis, she was counted as two. Others want to say another pshat. This I never heard such an idea. It's a Serach Bas Asher. Asher, they bring it from I think a Medrash or a Targum that maybe it's a Targum Yonasim, that Serach was actually a stepchild of Asher. So Asher was her stepfather. So when it says Bas Asher, that's not literally Bas Asher because Asher was actually only her stepfather. Who was her real father? Her real father was somebody from the family of Levi. So therefore, by the fam, not not family of Leah, I'm sorry, family of Leah. So Serach was really one of the children or grandchildren of Leah, one of the grandchildren, I'm sorry, of Leah. But she's called Bas Asher because Asher took her in. Asher was her stepfather. So therefore, she's counted with the family of Leah, but it's only like a remez. But she's beferish counted with Asher because that was her stepfather. So therefore, she's counted twice in order to give this type of remez. Okay, so but all these pshatim, of course, to say that Serach or Asher or Chushim ben Dan is part of the minyan is clearly not kapshuta. Hard to say that bepashtus and mikra. And the Rebbe actually says bepashtus. He gives a different pshat than before. He says bepashtus. He gives a much simpler answer that these days they are so not inyanim b'fnei atzmei. They're not opinions on their own. He imbayim behemshich la'pir shakadosh baruch hu hishlam es minyan or yakif. So Perek Yud Gimel that. Papashtis, he says, is that these answers are not answers on their own, but it's rather a hemshech. Meaning is that who is the 70th? The 70th was either Hashem or was Yaakov. And then the Medrash says, but how do you do the count? Because it's these opinions are somewhat troubled to say the Yaakov or Hashem was number 70. Yaakov would have been number one, or Hashem would have been the first one in the count. So then the question is, who's the last individual in the count? So the last one that would have been counted would have been either Chushim ben Dan or Serach Bas Asher would have been the last one in the minyan, and we'll discuss this later on why that's important. Who's the first? Who's the last? The Maral discusses it because there's a certain mila in the first, there's a mila in the last, and therefore it's important to know who is the first and who is the last in the minyan. Either way, so Bepashtus, the Rebbe is not going to discuss that so much in the Pnim because they're not really the 70th. Maybe they're the last one. They're number 70 in the minyan, but they're not the one that's missing the Torah. They are mentioned in the Torah. And if you're going to say it's Chushim or Serach, that just means that they're counted as the last one in the count. But the actual one that was missing was either Hashem or Yaakov, and Hashem and Yaakov should be counted first, and these individuals would be counted last. So just Bekitzer. Oh, so that's two other pshat. And then the Rebbe quotes a Rosh in the end of Pesachim. The Rosh in the end of Pesachim says Shechein Derech HaMikra. This is the way of the Psukim. Shmegiel Skuma series, when it gets to grouping of tens, but it's missing one, he counts it within the grouping of the tens. They're not careful about one. And he brings many proofs for this in the Torah, where we find that the Torah will round the number to the highest tenth, and not bother with the one. For example, we know that regarding Malkus, the Malkus, you're only supposed to get 39, but the Torah calls it Arbaim Yakenu. You'll get hit 40 times, but really you only get hit 39 times. Similarly, by Sfiras HaOmer, we know you count for seven Shiva Shavuos, but the Torah says you're counting 50. So you're counting 49 or you're counting 50? Elamai, you're counting 49, but the Torah, that's the style of the Torah, that when it's close, to a series, it's going to put it as the closer number. That is the Derech of the Mikra, that when it's at 9 or 49 or 39, it will always bring it to the to 10. So same thing over here, it's 69, but the Torah is going to call it 70 because it goes to the closest number, closest 10. That only, by the way, is when it's a 9. And the Maral discusses, and we'll get to the Maral soon, why that is, why 9 and 10 are so connected, that from the 9th you Torah automatically will bring it to the 10th. The Maral will discuss this, which will, but anyways, the Pashtus, again, the Torah likes to use these types of numbers, which are rounded numbers. The Rebbe tells us to look at the Korban Nisanal Sham. The Korban Nisanal asks a question on the Rosh. He says, according to the Rosh, why does the Gemara in Bava Basra, when asks who the 70th person is, why does it say Tzuchevet? According to the Rashi, you have a much simpler answer. You should have just said that the Torah was rounding off to the highest, to the closest number, to the 70th. So the Korban Nisanal says that because if you look at the question of the Gemara, you have to be Medaik. The Gemara doesn't bring a Pasuk and says, it says in the Pasuk that there was Shivan Nefesh Yerodu Abasach Mitzrayimah, but if you count them, there's only 69. He doesn't bring a Pasuk. The Lashon that he uses is that Bechololon, if you look at the Klal, if you look at the grouping, there's 70. But if you count them individual, it's 69. What does that mean? It's because if you go to the Pasuk says that Kol Nefesh Abah, all the Nefesh that came down was 66, and then you include Bnei Yosef and his two sons, that would be 69. And then again, 69 is not a, and then that means 70. Meaning is b'cholalim not to make teshuva. He doesn't have a problem. He says because if you count, if you put the cholalim all together, maybe also could have just meant sides for the 66, the three, so that's 69. He says the Gemara wouldn't have had an issue with that it counts as a 70, because again, we have this rule like the Rosh says that whenever it's 69, you do it to 70. That wasn't the problem. So he says, b'chololon, if you do it with b'chololon, you'll find 70. How will you find 70 if you do it b'chololon? It's only 69. It's because we round to 70. But b'proton, you only find 69. What does it mean b'proton? If you count them individually. And what does that mean individually? If you go through the names, because if you go by the name of B'nai Leah, b'prata, meaning is in the individual families, I should say. If you count them by the individual, meaning not b'chlal, all four families together, it reaches 69, and therefore we round to 70. But if you count each individual family on its own, then you're going to be missing. What does that mean? Because if you count the family of Leah, it's 32, but it actually says that it's 33. So in the prat, meaning within the individual families, there's something which is off, which is by Leah, that there's 32, but the Pasuk says 33. And over there, you can't say the Pasuk's rounding off. What's it rounding off to, from 32 to 33? That doesn't make any sense. So he says the real question of the Gemara is not regarding the number of 70. And again, his proof is because it doesn't bring the Pasuk. It should have just said the Pasuk says 70. And if you can't beprat them, you only find 69. He says, Elamai, that was never the problem from 69 to 70, because their taka is a very easy answer. The real problem is beprat them in the pratim. When you look at the individual families, not the klal, all the families together. But if you look at the individual families, you look in the family of Leah, then you're going to see that there's one missing, and that's really the problem of the Pasuk, of the Gemara. And therefore, the Gemara answers that, yes, that's your chavet. That she was no the Ben Achaimus, therefore she's counted as, but her name isn't mentioned. Okay, so just to recap, and then we'll go into the Sikh itself. So the recap is that we have three main explanations. We have Rashi, also the Medrash, says, and the Gemara, it's Yochevet. Shot number two is the Pirkei de Beliezer. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichnas Imayim B'Minyan. And then we have the Meforshei HaTorah, also the Medrash mentions this one, that it was Yaakov. And we explained why, that Rashi, Pshuta Shemikra, why he learns it his way. Main idea being because it says, B'noi Spanov. We explained the Ibn Ezra, that he wants to explain that it's Yaakov. And then we also had that idea that it was Hashem. So the questions of the Sikha. So the first question is, what's the Svarsa Machlaikis between these three opinions? What's the Svarsa Machlaikis? Who would be counted in the 70? Yes, we did bring different Diukim in the Psukim, but we want to understand it on a deeper level, what the Svars are, especially Alpi Pnimius in Yon. Especially, he says that the different opinions are from a minakatza lakatza. On one hand, you have those that are saying that it's Hashem or Yaakov, who would have been, as he said, number one. Hashem, Yaakov is the patriarch, the highest of the entire family. He's the source. He's the root of the entire family. And then you have, on the other hand, you say that it's Yocheved, which she's the lashon of the Rebbe is a bas yisrael, which is leidasa ben achaimis. She's not the patriarch of the family. No, she's the last one born, and she's the last one that's born ben achaimis. And the Rebbe points out she's a Bas Yisrael, which will become more relevant in the Sichas, because Bas is the idea of Malchus, which is the lowest of the spheres. So if we have Hashem, which is Lamailam and Shtalshus, we have Yaakov, which is from Oilam Atzilus, etc. Then you have Yechabe, which would have been the Inyan of Malchus, the lowest. So we having these two extremes, is it Hashem and Yaakov who are the source, really, of the Jewish people, or is it the Bas Yisrael, whose Leidasu was Ben Achaimus, which would really be number 70? Because she was literally born the last. So that's question number one, really. Again, as far as the machlokes, especially as we see their furry from one extreme to the next. And we understand according to Rashi. So yes, we explained Rashi up to Trita Shemikra why it's Yocheved and not Yaakov, but Hagufa Kasha. Meaning is, why, Taku, aren't we counting Yaakov? As the Lashon of the Ibn Ezra was, he's the Iker Nefesh. He's the patriarch. He's the main Nefesh of the whole family. Why wouldn't you be counting Yaakov? Right. So those are the two questions of the Sikha. So in order to explain this, the Rebbe says we first need to be medayik in the Pirkei de Eliezer and the Medrash. Regarding, was it Hashem or was it Yocheved? So in the Pirkei de Eliezer said that it was Hashem. So if you look at the Pirkei de Eliezer, it says that the Nesiaches, all of the Sacharim, 66, and then he had Yosef and his two children, so you have 69. It says b'shuvin nefesh yardu avisacha Mitzrayim. That was 70. They were yared. So what did Hashem do? Hashem entered with them in the minyan. Shneimas, it says anechi erid imcha Mitzrayim. I will go down with you, Mitzrayim. Asheikein, the Medrash, which says it's Yocheved, it brings it on a different pasuk. It says kol nefesh haba. He brings it on the pasuk kol nefesh haba. We'll see. Rashi bring kol nefesh haba. And then explains, so it says all the nefesh that came, and then it says that it's 70. So it says this is Yocheved. So what's the difference in it? By the Pirkei de Eliezer, it's focusing on the Yerida. It brings a pasuk which is talking about the Yerida of the Avos into, of the Shvatim and the families into Mitzrayim. And it also focuses how Hashem went with them. He nichnas imahim, it entered with them. He was part of their minyan. Masha'in came by Yocheved, it doesn't bring anything about Yerida, it actually brings the idea of Abba, all those who came to Mitzrayim. It's talking about more the idea of coming to Mitzrayim or being in Mitzrayim. What's the difference? He says, because by the Pirkei Eliezer, he's clearly speaking about the Yerida of the Bnei Yisrael and Galus. It says, B'nai Yisrael, they came to the Gvul of Mitzrayim. And it says, B'shiva Nefesh, Yordu of Sech, they're going down to Mitzrayim, they're going into the Kushi Hashibud. So therefore, they needed Hashem to come with them. Nichtasi Mahem B'minya. Hashem needed to come with them. That was a Hechrich. Because they needed an Asiyan Eskayach. That since they're going down to the Yerida Begals Mitzrayim, in order for them to be able to handle the Kushi Hashibud, they needed to know that Hashem is with them in Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Lashon is Nichtasi Mahem. Mashinkin by Yecheved, Yecheved isn't nichnasi ma'am. It doesn't use this expression, she was nichnasi ma'am dominion. No, and it also doesn't, rather, it's because of Baal Mitzrayim. By Yecheved, it's focusing on that when they came to Mitzrayim, they were 70 people. So by the Pirkei de Eliezer, it's focusing on the Yerida, and therefore it focuses on how Hashem was with them to give them the Sinas Kayach. Masha'enkein Yocheved, it doesn't focus on that point, it just focuses on that she was just part of the minyan. It wasn't Nichnas Imayim, she wasn't in the Sinas Kayach, she was just with them, she was part of the minyan. But the problem, and this is the question that we have, is the Lechaira, why, so the Pirkei de Eliezer makes sense, but the question the Rebbe is going to ask is really on the Medrash. Why Taka does the Medrash bring by Yocheved this pasuk of Abba Mitzrayim? Why does it bring the pasuk of Yordu Avisacha Mitzrayim? Lechaira, Yocheved was one of the only individuals from those who came to Mitzrayim that were actually survived for the Kushe Shibud Mitzrayim. As it says in the Medrash, that the Sheba didn't really start until that generation passed away. So only a few of them actually survived. Rabbi Yocheved was alive by the Kushiya Shibud. We also know Serach Bas Asher was alive, but the majority of them died. So how does it make sense that for the Hashlamas Aminyan, the Pasuk is Mekasher Dafka with the idea of Nefesh Haba'a Mitzrayim, the Nefesh that came to Mitzrayim, and not with the Pasuk of Shuvah Nefesh, Yordu Avistecha Mitzrayim. And yes, I know you can answer it all, because she didn't go down to Mitzrayim. It was just when they came to Mitzrayim, they were 70. Right? When they came into Mitzrayim, she was 70. As we said earlier, because she was born Bein HaChaimis, so if she's born Bein HaChaimis, when they actually came to Mitzrayim, technically they would have been 70. It fits very well, according to that. Ragachav. But about Mashenkin Yordu, that's not really, doesn't fit with Yocheved. But we already explained earlier that Shiva Nefesh Yordu Avesecha is A, including the Bnei Yosef, and also according to this medrash that says Yocheved was part of the minion, the Pashtus, he would also understand, and Rashi for sure would understand Yordu Avesecha Mitzrayim is in any ways including Yocheved. So clearly that Pasuk means the Bnei Yosef, also means Yocheved. So why is the Medrash bringing this Dafka down by the Pasuk, those who came, and not with the idea of the Yordu Avesecha? L'chaira, she would have been connected more to the idea, she is connected to the idea of Yordu Avesecha. The Deek of Yordu Avesecha is that those who had to go down to Mitzrayim, she actually went down much more than the others, because she survived all the way through the Kushi HaShibut, Mashenkin, everyone else really passed away before the main Shuvah began. And the second question is on the Pirkei Eliezer. So the first question is really on the Medrash. Why is the Medrash connecting Yocheved Dafka to the Pasuk of Haba'a and not to the idea of Yordu Avesecha? L'chayr, she was very much connected to the Yerida. The second question will be on the Pirkei Eliezer, that his Lashon was Nisiachsu Kolos Charm Shishim Veshesh, that when we're Nisiachis, all the Zacharim, there were 66, and then you add Yosef and his two children, then you have Shivim Chasar Achas, you only have 69. So the problem is, why is he stressing Kolos Zacharim? L'chayr, that the Zacharim were 66. That is actually incorrect, because we know that there were certain women that were also counted. For example, Dina, Serach Bas Asher. So why would the Pirkei Eliezer use the expression called a Zacharin? Whoever points out in R24, like L'chayr Habir, was that, it, you know, the Tars is Medabra al Darach HaRoiv, similar to what we mentioned earlier on from the Ibn Ezra, that the Ha'ilach HaRoiv, so also over here when it says Kol HaZacharim are 66, it means, generally speaking, it was mostly men. 64 out of 66 is a pretty high percentage. But Tzarech Inksas, because right afterwards, it's the Medrash in the Pirkei Eliezer continues that Kshaolu Yisrael Mitzrayim Nisiachsu Kol HaGvarim Shishim Ribui, that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they Mitzayachis all of the Scharim, and it was 600,000 minus one. And they needed Dafka 600,000, so Hashem joined in with them. It says that I will also go on Eichi Ela Imcha, I'll also go up from you. So it's 599,999,000, and Hashem would have been the 600,000. So over there, again, it's focusing on Kol HaGvarim, and over there it meant Dafka Gvarim, because obviously they had a lot of, you know, if you could use women to make up the number, then they had probably closer to 2 million people that left Mitzrayim. So if there was, you know, so clearly when the Pasuk, the Medrash is continuing, that the number was Kol HaGvarim, was missing, it was 600,000 minus one, it means Dafka, that there were men, and from the count of the men, there was missing one, therefore Hashem had to join in. So therefore it's Mashmaksas, that also at the beginning, when it says that there were 66 men, that's Dafka, that this was something which was Negea, that it was Dafka Zacharim. So 66 men, and then you had three men, and then you had to have Hashem who was being Mashlim. So according to this, it doesn't fit with the Pshat, because of course, there wasn't all Zacharim, it was also Dina Beserach. So the answer the Rebbe is going to give in the Sicha is not going to answer maybe the grammar of why it says Chol Zacharim, but it's going to explain it more and that makes sense, because again, we're talking about a Medrash. So a Medrash is not necessarily telling us Pshat of what happened, it's telling us more the deeper meanings of what happened. And therefore, what's going to be relevant, we're going to see is according to Pirkei Eliezer, this idea that it was Zacharim, that the relevant aspect of the spiritual point of the minyan had a relationship to the Veda of Zacharim. Okay, the Rebbe does point out that one of the Kisvei Yad of the Pirkei Eliezer, it has a different lashon. It says, Hisyaches ha-Zacharim shishim v'shisha, that there were 66 Zacharim. And then it says, Yosef v'shnei banav har shishim v'sheva. And it says that you have Yosef and his two children, you would have 67. I, it says Shiva Nefesh. So Hashem entered into dominion. So that would have been 68. So Lefizeh, when it says 67, that probably means it meant the 64 plus Yosef and his children, which would have made 67. So according to this Girsa, it's not counting the two daughters until the end. Like, who would have been that would have been 68. And who were the last two? That would have been Dinah and Serach. So then you can just give somewhat of an answer, at least for Pirkei Elias, according to this one, is that maybe, I think this is what the Rebbe is trying to say, is that when it says Kol HaZecharim 66, it doesn't mean all the Zecharim 66. It means all of the Zecharim from the count of the 66, plus Yosef and his two sons are 67. So all of the Zecharim of the 66, plus Yosef and his two children, would equal 67 altogether. But it's not saying that there were 66 Zecharim. But the Rebbe ends off with the Sarach Ian, if that would be, I think that's Rebbe's, I think that would be the pshat the Rebbe's trying to say, I'm not sure. But anyways, the Rebbe says Sarach Ian, again, because that would be a hard, somewhat of a, I guess you have to push that pshat a little bit into the words. And again, as we said earlier, that it wouldn't fit, doesn't necessarily so much connect to the end, where you needed Kol HaGvarim. Okay, that's not such a big deal, because again, for whatever reason, we could say that there was an inyan of having the Zecharim, and that would have been 68, and Einachinami at the beginning, plus the two Nekevis. And for whatever reason, when they left Mitzrayim, what was relevant, they need to have 600,000 Dafka men. But again, at least the Mila of this Prat is, at least you could fit it into the word somewhat. Asha'in can corn to argue, so it's much more difficult to fit it into the word, so it says Kol HaZecharim, and it's actually not Kol HaZecharim. But the pshat answer probably is, we're going to have to say it's al derech harayiv, but the more pneumistic pshat of why it says kol zecharim, because we're going to see beruchni sataka was kol zecharim, because the avodah was connected to the union of zechar. Okay, one last question. So far, that we had, I guess, four questions. So the fifth question of the sicha is that the Mefarshim discuss that if you look at the count of the individual families, it uses sometimes the lashon, it counts them in a lashon nekev, and sometimes lashon zachar. So let's look at it. So when it says all the fam, kol nefesh abol Yaakov Mitzrayma, it says kol nefesh shishim v'sheish, which is the lashon nekev. In the next pasuk, it says by the bnei Yosef they were nefesh shnayim. So then it uses the lashon zachar. Similarly, by the B'nai Leah and B'nai Zilpah, it says Shloishim v'Shloish, 33, Sheish Esrei Nefesh, both of those are Lashon Nekeva. Ashenken, the B'nai Rachel and Leah, so uses Lashon Zachar, called the Nefesh Arba Asar, called Nefesh Shiva. So the question is, sometimes the Pasuk is using the Lashon Zachar numbers, and sometimes it uses Lashon Nekeva for the count. So the answer that the Pasuk is trying to memorize is since they answer that because Nekevas entered into the minion. So by the B'nai Leah, and also B'nai Leah had Dina. The B'nai Zilpah had Bas Asher. The general count of 66 also had Serach and Dina. Therefore, it uses Lashon Nekeva. Mash Enkim by the B'nai Yosef, there was only two sons, so it says Nefesh Shnayim. Similarly, B'nai Rachel, B'nai Zilpah, they didn't have, and B'nai Bilhah didn't have any daughters. Again, therefore, it uses Lashon Zach. So in short, that whenever a girl is part of the count, they use Lashon Nekeva. Whenever it's just males, then it uses Lashon Zach. That's the answer they give. But the problem with this answer is that, A, according to the Kalali HaDikduk, that when you have a count which is Kelo, Zacharim, and Nekevis, then you actually use a Lashon Zachar. That's rule number one. And he says, especially in our situation, that since the majority of the people were Zacharim, also logically, if you're going to use one of the, you should use a Lashon Zachar, because again, Tayral Arif the Daber, the majority would have been Zacharim, so if you're going to use, if you had to use one of these Lashonis, then logically you should have used the Lashon Zachar because the majority were men. So that's the next question of the Sicha. The Rebbe in Har 28 does bring one of them before, the Maskil Adav, that wants to gives an answer. Then he says it's a Remez, that the Pasuk's trying to memorize to you by B'nei Leah, that by the B'nei Leah, that who is the 33rd, it was an Akeva. Meaning, is it, since it says 30, we only have 32. But you do the full count, the Pasuk tells us 33. So in order to hint to us who's the 33rd, it uses Balash and Nekeva to kind of hint to us that there's somebody that is missing, and there's a hint that it was a Bas because it uses Balash and Nekeva. And he says, and once it does it by B'nai Leah, it does the same thing by B'nai Zilpah, because there's also a girl. Meaning is that the Torah likes to make things that they're symmetric. So since by the B'nai Leah, there's two girls and we do it B'lash and Akeba. So also by the B'nai Zilpah, there's one girl, we also do B'lash and Akeba. Mash Ein came by B'nai Yosef and B'nai Bilah, where there are zero girls, then of course they only did a B'lash and Zachar. So that would be a remiss for this particular idea. That's an interesting answer the Rebbe brings to the Ara. But let's go into the Sicha itself and we'll see how the Rebbe will take care of these five questions. Just again, just to repeat the five questions before we go in. Question one is that we have a three-way Machlokes, who is the 70th, and we want to know the Sfarsa Machlokes. Why would you say it's Hashem, Yaakov, or Yechavit? Question number two is, according to Rashi, why Taka, according to Pshuta Shemikra, would we not be counting Yaakov in the 70? Hagufa Kasha, why shouldn't he be part of the Minyan? Question three is, in the Medrash, it connects the Yecheved with the Pasuk Haba Mitzrayim. Why are we connecting Yecheved with those who came to Mitzrayim? Lachar, it should have connected her more to the idea of the Yerida into Mitzrayim, because she went through the suffering. Question four was on the Pirkei Eliezer. It says, Nisiyachzu called us Zakarim Shishim V'sheish, that, but with Lachara, it was actually only 64. The Zakarim were not 66, there's only 64 Zakarim in the count. And last question is, why in the Psukim does it sometimes use a Lashon Zachar and other times it uses a Lashon Nekeva? Explanation. So the explanation is that this number, we're going to see that the number of 70 is a very important number. That it was relevant that when the Yidden would go down to Mitzrayim, they needed to have 70 in order to survive, in order to, and also able to fulfill their Aveda while they're in Mitzrayim. As the Maral tells us, that there were two points of them having 70. One was because 70 is considered already a nation. That's what he brings. That the, when did the Yidden already be considered a goy beger of goy, a nation? That was at the time when they went down with 70. And he connects that to this, that there's 70 nations. So we see from the number 70s, it could already be considered a very, very small nation. And the idea is that once you're 70, you're Mitzuyonim Sham. They were found there, they were a separate entity, and therefore they would not become Nizbatel, and they would not become forgotten and lost and batel inside of Gaul's Mitzrayim. So one idea of being 70 is that's considered basically a chashuv number, their nation of Neatzmai, and therefore they would not become Nizbatel. And he also says there's another idea of the 70, is that the 70 connects them to the goyim, that there are 70 nations. So 70 connects them to the inyan of the goyim. And therefore, they're able to have a connection, and that allowed them to eventually, for Mitzrayim, to have rulership over the Yidden. That once the Yidden became 70 and had a connection to the Umas HaOlam, then Mitzrayim was able to have a rulership and a control over the Yidden. And also, Pipnimius in Yanim will see that once you have a connection to the Umas HaOlam, you also have the ability to elevate them. As we say, like with the Neshama, when the Neshama is above the Lamaila, it cannot elevate the body. Once it's in the body and has a connection to the body, the body, unfortunately, could bring it down to lower levels, can cause it to sin. But also the Neshama has the ability to purify the body, to elevate the body. Interesting. I'm just thinking on the spot. It says that one of the ways how the neshama is able to fill its avodah is it makes a shvua. By making a shvua, that gives it a certain shtel that it won't become this battle. So the idea of shiva, a shvua, also comes to the idea of seven, a shpien, seven, which is probably connected to the idea of 70. Okay. Anyways, another time. So the Rebbe says like this. So the Chlolis, he says, by this idea of 70, we find two inyanim. One, we find that it's connected to the Ayin Umas, it's connected to the Ayin Umas, and they themselves, why is it Ayin Umas? Because it's connected to Ayin Sarim Al-Maila, meaning is that the way how the Goyim, the nations of the world, get their energy, they get it from their spiritual source, and the spiritual source is the 70 ministering angels above in Shemayim. The second idea that we find in 70 is connected to the Yidden, that the Yidden had Shivan Zakenim, as it says by Moshe, that Isfuli Shivan Zakenim, that that you should gather to me the 70 elders. We also find that the Sanhedrin was 70. So there's an Inyan of 70 which is connected to the Yidden. So again, so one idea that it's connected to the Goyim, and there's also an Inyan that it's connected to the Maila of the Yidden. So B'chololos, this is connected to the reason why the Yidden came down. The Yidden went down to Mitzrayim, and the purpose of going down to Mitzrayim was a preparation for Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satorah. And what they needed to accomplish, they needed to accomplish something regarding themselves, and also regarding the world in general. So regarding themselves, they needed to accomplish the idea of Anoichi Hashem Lekacha, meaning is that Hashem is Koichach Micha Yisacha, that when they got to Matan Torah and Hashem says Anoichi Hashem Lekacha, Chassidus explains that means that I, Avaya, that they recognize that that which is the Lamayla Menateva, that Hashem, which is in Gantz and Hechem and Teva, is their energy, that Yidden live Lamayla Menateva, that their energy is directly from Hashem, directly with Hashkacha Pratis. And also, B'chlolus the Velt, there needs to be the Kishur of the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, that the Nizgzera was this battle, and the Tachtonim and the Elyonim are able to combine, and therefore there could be a elevation of the Tachtonim themselves. So therefore, when the Yidden entered the Mitzrayim, they needed to accomplish something to get to themselves, that they, even when they're in this world, they could recognize that their koyach, their physical energy and life force, is coming from Havaya, and therefore they needed to have an Avaida that while they're in the Kushi Hashim and Mitzrayim, they're able to come to recognize Hashem, and that's the preparation for them to be able to have a much higher level of that Noichi Havaya is Kaychach Vechaysecha. And then there's a second idea that they needed to elevate the Mitzrayim to a certain degree. And therefore, by elevating the Mitzrayim, that would be the Hachana and the preparation that by Matan Torah, that could be the Bittel of the Gzer of Al Yodim La Yardu La Tachtain. So let's start off with the Yidden. So, how do we see this idea by the Yidden? This is a interesting idea. So let's give a little bit of a background based on the different Mamamar Chassidus, a little bit of a Marah, but mostly from the Tyre R that the Rebbe quotes in the Ars. And so we know that the Ha'avis were the Markava, so Hashem, because all the Kol Avirim, Kulam HaYikudoshim, and Muvdalim, and Yonim Alahaza, Kulam HaKalim, and they were complete Bittl and Eskashas to Lukos. They were on a level of Atzilus, and therefore they had Hashras Hashkina was Begilim Mamash by them. They had Hashem's Shekhinah was revealed to them. But that level's obviously much too high for the regular individual. They were living, even in this world, in a way of Atzilus. It needs to be Nimshach in a way that it could also be relevant to the regular person. Therefore, it had to be Nimshach through the Shvatim. So the idea, what does a Shevet mean? Shevet has two translations. A Shevet means, first of all, Kuchva de Shavita. It means a shooting star. So that comes to the idea of Shavit can mean something which is being drawn down, like a shooting star is like the arrow, like an arrow which is being shot from one spot to another, like the shooting star which is going from an area to the next. So the idea of a Shevet is that we're taking Kedusha from the Avos and bringing it down to another level. There's a Hamshacha coming down. And also the idea of a Shevet means a branch. And the idea is that it's a branch from the Avos. So what are the Shvatim? The Shvatim are this idea that they're a branch. They're a branch from the Avos that are coming down to Biyah. That even in the worlds of Biyah, we're able to have a connection to Hashem. So true, it's not going to be on the same level as the Avos. But even as we are in our own world or in the world of Biyah, there's able to be a recognition to Hashem according to the level that they're currently at. But even that's too high for us. So therefore, it ultimately had to go down to the Ayin Nefesh. The Ayin Nefesh, oh, by the way, why Yud Beis, by the way? Why Yud Beis Shvatim? So first of all, we see that in the Pasuk says that by Shlema, by the Beis Mikdash, it says there were Yud Beis, that there was a Yam, which was Amad al Yud Beis Bakar. That the Yam stood on these 12, the Yam was the I think it was like the Mikvah, which they used for the water, for the Kiyar. It's like a well of water, like a pool of water, which was in this yam, they called it. This kli was on top of 12 bakar. So Chassidus explains that yam is the inyan of malchus. And the shvatim were the yud beis bakar, but they were the makava to the inyan of malchus, which they called the markata tata, the lower markava. So the higher markava is the avis, because they are makava to the inyanim of za, while the Shvatim were a lower Markava because they are Markava to the Inyan of Malchus. So Malchus is Yairid into Biyah. And who was the Markava for this level of Malchus? That would have been the Shvatim. And Yud Beis, the Maral says it, and the Alter Rebbe brings it, also in Lukot Torah. Later on in one of the Arsav mentions the source of this Lukot Torah, that Yud Beis is the Yud Beis Vule Alachsun. That when you have a, let's say, a house, you have the four walls, and then you have the floor and the ceiling. But the areas where they attach, there's 12. Right? If you do it from the floor to the wall is one, and then from the wall to the ceiling would be two. And if you do it all together, there'd be 12. What's the idea over there? That in one object, you have 12 vulim, the 12 connecting points. So in one item, so there's one item, you can have 12. So that's like the idea of the Shvatim, that in Yaakov was the one. So in Yaakov, if you expand it a bit, then you'd find 12. So even though they're 12, so it's not that same level of achdus. Like he wants that Yaakov is like the root, is the shayrish. He's the root that has everything within it. So within that root, if you expand it out, then you have the 12. But it's still connected to the one, but it's in a oifen of 12. And then from the 12, eventually comes down to the inyan of ayin nefesh. And as we said, the ayin nefesh is how it is beruchnius. So it's still spiritual. It's the ayin nefesh. But ultimately, of course, from that ayin nefesh was another level of tzimtzum. That from the 12 comes to the 70, ultimately comes to the inyan of the ayin tzar. Okay, so that's the third level that's in the ayin nefesh. But even ayin nefesh is not enough. The ayin nefesh also has to come down into Golos Mitzrayim. So in order for it to come to every single neshama, it has to be mamish inside of Mitzrayim. And even when you're inside of Mitzrayim, even then, when there's a complete Halam HaHeser v'Elokus, you're still somewhat connected. As it says in Likutei Torah, that there's three levels of Rachmanis that we find. We find there's Rachmanis by, it says Rachmanis by Yaakov, also mentioned the Inyan of Rachmanis by the Shvatim, and also Rachmanis by the Ayin Nefesh. He says that these are three different levels of Rachmanis. There's a level of Rachmanis which is in the Olam Atzilus, which is that's a Rachmanis is that you're not connected to Atzmus HaMahusa Yisbarach. So that's called Olam HaShavim. Whatever level, Ruchnistic level you're at, there's always going to be a Rachmanis that you're not one with Atzmus HaMahusa Yisbarach. Then there's the crying of the Rachmanis, which is by the Shvatim, that they're in Diyah, and they Ratzin Lahav Kameh Malka. They want to be not the Maim Tachtonim, they want to be the Maim Elyonim, they want to go back to Atzilus, they want to have this higher level. And then there's the crying of the Ayin Nefesh, and even more befact, the Ayin Nefesh, when it's already in Mitzrayim, where it's not just that it's a lower level, but it's a level which is already brought into a Guf Chumri. It's a Belavush Guf Chumri. So it's a complete Helam Behester, and therefore that's a crying that there's no Gili Elokus at all. On the contrary, you're in a place of Golos V'Choshech. And the void is that even when we're in this horrible Golos V'Choshech, even then, in Mitzrayim, not just Stam Golos, it's Mitzrayim where Ein Yir Shemayim B'neihem, even then, the Nekudas HaYadus, the Inyan of Mamidim, that the Yidden are Mamidim, that they believe in Hashem, that should be able to become Nisgala. And through us, or I should say us, through the Yidden in Mitzrayim, even in that scenario, where they were able to reveal that they were the Inyan of Mamidim, that was the Hachana for all future generations, that even when they're on the lowest level, they're able to always connect to Hashem. And of course, as we said, this was ultimately the Hachana to Matan Torah for the Yidden, that they should recognize that even your Koyach v'chayis in this world comes from Hashem. So this is the Inyan of Amuna. As we, of course, we also find that was the whole idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rai Mehemna, that his purpose was to mfarness the Yidden, that they should be able to have Amunah even while they're inside it of Mitzrayim. And this Amunah Pshuta is the idea of Yamin Ha'am, that the people believed that Hashem has the capability of taking them on Mitzrayim, that Hashem does not have any Menios Be'ekudim, Hashem is completely L'mayla Manatava, that Hashem does not limit it to Mitzrayim. So by them recognizing, have the Amunah, that even in the lowest level, even in Mitzrayim, even in a place of limitations, V'hulu, they're able to recognize that Hashem is not part of, doesn't have any limitations. That's something which is completely higher. That was ultimately the Hachana for Matan Torah. And that's why it says the Chazal Lay Nigal Yisrael, Lay Nigalu Abisenu B'Mitzrayim El B'Zchus, or another gear says B'Schar HaMuna, that the Yidden were redeemed from Mitzrayim only because of the Schus of the HaMuna. So this is not a Zaitik Inyan, like what the, you know, Yidden need to be redeemed, so they need to have some type of Schus. So what was the HaMuna? No, this was in the Mechuv and the Tachlis. The Yidden were redeemed because of Amunah, the Schus of Amunah, because that was the whole purpose of being there. That once they had this Inyan Amunah, they had the Zachos, they had the purification, which happens through Amunah, then they were able to be elevated and leave Mitzrayim and ultimately be Zoicha to Matan Torah. So, what we're going to see now is that is generally speaking. So right now we're speaking in a general way. That was the general hachana that the Yidden have to Matan Torah. But we're going to see with Bezeh Gufa, there's going to be the two levels. There's going to be the level which is connected to Yaakov and Hashem, and a second level which is connected more to Yecheved. And Bezeh Gufa, we're also going to see, you have the Yecheved and Hashem, which is connected to the Yidden, and then we're going to have the Inyan of Yocheved, which in addition to be connected to the Avoida of the Yidden, it's also going to be connected to the Avoida of with the Mitzrayim. Okay, so we said already that the Yerid Mitzrayim needs to be with 70. So in order to, for this, for that, in order for, why did they need 70? So we already mentioned that there's two points really in this idea of 70. One point is connected the Yidden, and one point which is connected the Goyim. And I mentioned to the Maral that one point is that the Yidden shouldn't be Nishka. The Yidden shouldn't lose themselves while they're in Mitzrayim. Therefore, they need to be 70. And then there was another aspect of the 70 is that they should also be able to have an influence on the Goyim. Or they would have an influence basically on the Goyim. That's more the Rebbe's take on it. Not so much that the Goyim have an influence on them, but more that they'll be part of the Goyim, and therefore they'd be able to have an influence on them. So these are the two aspects that we're going to see in the Medrash. That who was Mashlim the 70? So we said the first interpretation was Yaakov and Hashem. Why Yaakov and Hashem? Why are they needed? Because if you're saying that it's Yaakov and Hashem, you're basically understanding what was the idea of the 70. The idea of the 70 was that the Yidden should not become should have Metzias, should have a Chashivas, that they should never become Nisbatel in Mitzrayim. Therefore, they needed to have a Madrig which was higher than Ashtalshus. And by having a level by within their 70, they need to have something which was Nitzchi, something which was permanent, something that could not become Nisbatel in Mitzrayim. If it's just a regular 70, which is part of nature, then you know the Ayin Nefesh goes to the Ayin Sarim, and it goes to the inside Mitzrayim, and eventually. If it goes in the place of Shloish Kibbutz Tmeis, what holds this their 70 that the 70 shouldn't come in Gantz and Nisbata? What's the idea in 70? Oh, the 70 won't become Nisbata. Why? So it's because the 70 has within it an inyan which is Lamailam and Ashtalshus, which is higher than Mitzrayim. So even when in the Mitzrayim, they always are connected to something which is above Mitzrayim. Ubezat Gufa, we have two Madregas. We have Yaakov. The Yaakov is the Madrega of Atzilus, the Hecher from Ashtalshus. Later on, it brings the idea of Yaakov as Yud Ekev. Yud is the Indian of Chochmah that goes into the Ekev. The idea is that Yaakov is the ability, Yaakov, which is the Olam Atzilus, its Mila is that it has a, it's able to see Elokus. It's able to be Nirgash. It has a complete Hakar and Elokus. Ihu v'gam v'yuchad. That Hashem and the Kalim and the Iris and Atzilus are completely one with them. So in Atzilus, there is a unity and a oneness with Hashem. It's like the fish which are inside of the Yam. That the fish and the yam are one. They're where they're supposed to be. They feel their source constantly. So the idea of Yaakov is that there's always a hergish of the source. So of course, when they went down to Mitzrayim, this hergish was becoming more behela when they're inside of Mitzrayim. But it never was completely, when it says Yaakov came with them, the idea is that even as they're going down to Mitzrayim, there's always that spark which was there, even if it's behela. And therefore, it could be blown on. You're able to me'orer that spark. And that's what Pashas Moshe did. He was able to blow on that spark and eventually wake it up and be Yamin Ha'am. The second shot is Moisef, that it was actually Hashem. This is why. Because he's focusing on that the Yidden need to go into the lowest level possible. He says, if Yaakov went with them and they always had this spark, which was, you know, somewhat subdued. It was like, let's say, it was like a coal which was going out. But you just needed to blow on it, and then the coal could pop up again. They still had a certain hergish. There was still something there. In order to have a complete yirida, it needed to be everything which was completely hidden. That Yaakov did not go with them. But what did they have? They had Hashem, which was on the level of Seviv Kolam. Meaning is, that it's not actually felt as part of their psyche. It's within them, but not something which is felt by them. What does that mean? What is the difference between Yaakov? We're saying Yaakov is, it's hidden, but it's felt. Mash enkin the inyan of seivu kolam is something which is not felt. What this means is like this: Yaakov is the inyan of chachma, is the inyan of atzilus. So maybe I'll give an example from somewhere else, and then I'll connect it back here. By the Atav Tzava Maimer. In Maimar Atat Tzav, the Rebbe explains two different levels of Amuna. There's a level of Amuna which comes from Mazlai Chazi, the person's Mazl sees, and by the Mazl seeing, that has an Ashpa on the Neshama as it's within the body. What does that mean? That when the Mazl sees Hashem, the Mazl, that's an intellect, the Mazl is having a pneumistic connection to Hashem. And that pneumistic connection that the Mazl has, that also has, that's like a subconscious idea, that also has a conscious effect on the person. That there's some type of Riya. Riya is something which is a pneumistic azach. Riya is something that we, as human beings, could appreciate. You see something that has an effect on you. That's something which we can understand. And by seeing something that helps you understand, helps you feel, changes the way you act, we can understand that. So yes, over here, it's not a riya that your mind is understanding or your eyes are seeing. It's a riya which is coming mumayla, comes from sad the neshama. But the point that it's saying it's a riya, it means is that it's something that's able to, you're able to identify with it. There's a certain identification you're able to have by mazlai chazi. And through that identification, this subconscious understanding, your subconscious has a very strong effect on your consciousness. So if your subconscious understands something in a particular way or has an appreciation of Hashem, ultimately that will have an effect on your seichel. For example, if subconsciously you know something is true, but you never think about it, and then someone comes and tells you, that tells it to you. And once you hear it, it's like, oh my gosh, that makes a lot of sense. That fits. It just feels right. It's like something I was missing my whole life. Where does that come from? It's because subconsciously you always knew that was right. It's just that in your conscious mind, you never picked that up. You never knew about it. So similarly over here, if it's on the level of Yaakov, what we're basically saying is that there was a subconscious level within them that was always there. And that subconsciousness is able to have an effect on them. So therefore, by Moshe, this is Moshe took that subconscious amuna that they have from Mazlai Chazin, was able to translate in a way of Das. That since your neshama saw, so ultimately your mind could also, seeing is understanding. It's a form of understanding, is seeing something. And you see something, you can understand, you can internalize it. So from that understanding, which is Bechinas Makiv, you can have a Pnimiyas Dika, Seichel, which understands it too. So that would be one level of Maisha, that he's taking the level of Yaakov, which is Mazlai Chazi, something which is above you, and ultimately internalizing it even in your Seichel and Midas. But then we said in the Maimed that there was this higher level. There's the inyan of Mesiris Nefesh, the Pintalayid, which is completely higher. Than Seichel. It has nothing to do with your Seichel. It's just that that's who you are as a Yid. You have this Pintalayid, and therefore, as it's explained in Tanya, there are certain times in a person's life, in times of Mesiris Nefesh, that could be awakened. Sometimes in Chassidus, the mashal is like you have the Flintstone. So Flintstone, there's no fire in the Flintstone, but if you hit it, a spark comes out. So similarly, you have that power within you. It's completely hidden. There's no flame. You can't blow on it. But if it gets hit, all of a sudden, this thing is created. So that's kind of how it was by the Eden. It wasn't there. It wasn't in their conscious or subconsciousness. It needed to be hit. It needed to be created. But how is it created? It's created because they had Hashem with them. That they had their Etzem HaNefesh. Within their Etzem HaNefesh, that power was always there. It just needed to be awoken is not even the right word. It had to be hit, and then by being hit, it's able to come out. So that's this idea that on one hand, it's not a seichel dekazach that you had an appreciation subconsciously or consciously. No, it's completely not there. But on the other hand, it's there. And then when Moshe comes, he's able to me'ayur this mesiris nefesh, which is higher than your seichel, and of course, as explained in Atta Tassab, the ultimate level is not just to have a one moment of Mesiris Nefesh, but to ultimately take that Mesiris Nefesh and to change your day-to-day life. But it's nothing to do with your day-to-day life, meaning is intellectually you wouldn't understand, why am I going on Mesiris Nefesh? I've never done it. A Yid that never did any mitzvahs. I never did any of these things in my life. All of a sudden, I'm willing to go on Mesiris Nefesh. It doesn't make any sense. It's not something that he could explain. It's something that's coming from a much deeper part of him. So that would be the second level. So, but the point is that both of these levels are the level of the Yidden, how they're lamaila. It's like the Sanhedrin, the Zakenim, how they're lamaila from the Inyan of Mitzrayim, and therefore that helps them from becoming Mizbatel. And that's the idea, according to those Pshatim, that Hashem was, or Yaakov was Mashlim in the Minyan. But then we have the interpretation that Yocheved was Mashlim in the Minyan. What does that mean? So, Yocheved was able to Minizgala, the Inyan of Amunah, how we are in this world. If Yaakov and Hashem are Giluyim of Amuna, really how they are above the world, Yocheved is having an Inyan of Amuna, how we are within the world itself. Meaning is, let's say, looking at the world and being able to find Hashem through looking at the world. That you look at the wonder and the amazing things within the world, you're able to come to Hashem that way too. It doesn't need to be with the, like Yaakov and Hashem, it's more the idea, I think, of Maminim B'nei Maminim. How would the Deidim believe? They believe because they're B'nei Maminim. We have within us this Avam Musateris, and it just needs to be revealed. Yocheved is not working with that Inyan of the Avam Musateris. Rather, she's working with the world around her, that we're able to reveal Hashem just from the world that we see. That's why ultimately also have a connection to the Mitzrim, as we'll see, because even though they don't have the Maminim B'nei Maminim, but they do have this capability to be able to see Hashem in the world. As Rebbe explains, Api Kabbalah, the Inyan of Isha is a Sfiris of Malchus, and Sfiris of Malchus has two aspects to it. On one hand, it's Ragla Yeredis, it's the Gila, it's the Hashpa of Hashem, which comes down into the Olamas of Bia. So the Ragla Yeredis are coming down. So that gives a Nesinus Makam of Galus, that it's not remaining in Atilus, but rather it's going in a place of Yashus, and ultimately the Inyan of Galus. But on the other hand, from the Inyan of Malchus, we have Amunah Kol Zeis. As we say, Amunah Kol Zeis, Zeis is the Inyan of Malchus, which is the Lashon HaKev, Amunah Kol Zeis, that we're able to have Amunah because of Zeis. That Mitzad, the Sphere of Malchus, we can have Amunah of Malchuscha, Malchuscha L'Olam, meaning that the Chais and the Metzias of all the worlds come to the Midas of Malchus. Meaning is, how is it that if we look at the world, we're able to come to appreciate Hashem? It's because the world comes from Hashem. The only thing is, it's coming from Hashem through many, many tzimtzumim. So our world is after many, many tzimtzumim. But by looking at our world, you're able to understand, it says, M'psariach Zalaka, look at our world and we can understand how the higher spiritual worlds are. How? It's because our world itself is part of the higher worlds. So again, so now let's connect it back to the Ayin Nefesh. So is the Ayin Nefesh, we're saying the Ayin Nefesh is what gives us the capability, even when we're in Golus, that we're able to have a connection to Elokus. So is it because of the Inyan of Yaakov and Hashem, which is in it? Or is it because, no, the Inyan of Yaakov and Hashem, it's Takim, it's Tzumtzum, it's Tzumtzum, all the way down to Yocheved, which is the lowest level of Malchus, how it's inside Biyah, how it's inside Mitzrayim, but even there, we're able to see Hashem in the physical world around us. That we're able to see that the Chayis and the Mitzis of the physical world comes from Hashem. So when you look at the world, you don't see a very great Guluyim of Hashem. No, you see the world. But from that world, we're able to recognize and see Hashem. So this is in a different extreme. And we see this by Yocheved herself. On one hand, she was one of the 70 nefashes that were part of the Kushi, and she was one of the 70 people. But she was Dafka born in Bein HaChomis, and she was part of the Kishri HaShibud, so she was part of the Golas. So she came, she was like Malchus that came from above, but came below, all the way down. But the Lidich Bisa, the Guluth, came through her son, who was Megala Damunah by the Yidden. And also with Yocheved herself, that her and Miriam were techayana seyaladim, that she's mechanech and awakened by the Yidin, the Inyan of Amunah and Petachan Hashem. So it wasn't just her son that was awakening the Amunah and Petachan, she and her daughter also were and awakening this Inyan of Amunah and Petachan, not to be despoiled from Pari and his Gezeris. So we see that also by Yocheved. So based on this, we can answer one of the questions we had. This was the fifth question we had, which was why sometimes is it Blashon Nekeva and sometimes Blashon Zachar? So the answer is because the Iker Inyan, that the reason why it's Blashon Nekeva by the Shishon Vashesh and Shloshon Vashloish is because the Iker Inyana and the Putla of Golas Mitzrayim was connected to the Inyan of Sfiris HaMalchus and connected to the Inyan of Nekeva. Like we see Beferish, Bepoel, that the Inyan of Muna Begili is more by women than by men. That's why the women didn't sin by the eagle. So Bechlalus, this is also connected to the Inyan of the Shvatim. As we said, the Shvatim, the Makavta Tata, they are Makavta, the Bechinas of Malchus. So even the Shvatim, they also are connected to this Inyan of Amuna, Inyan of Amuna, how it's within the worlds of Biyah, and more Bechlalus, as we know, it's connected to all Ay Nefesh. So that's why Bechlolos, when they're doing the 66, meaning the count of the 70, we do it Beloshen Nekeva, because we're trying to stress that the general count, what the Iker Inyan is this Inyan of Nekeva, that they're able to have an effect on the Mitzrayim. And that's why also B'nai Leah, which Yocheved was part of, it also has it Beloshen Nekeva, and also Zilpah, who was the Shivcha of Leah, so she was, in a sense, again, like Nimshach from Leah, also has this idea also of Beloshen Nekeva. Masha'enkin, when we look at Yosef, the Avis, and also Yosef, the Avis were in Oilam Hatzilus, they were in the Union of Zah. Yosef is known in Kabbalah as the sphere of Yosef. Is the sphere of Yosef. As it says that Eila Tildis Yaakov Yosef, that the Iker Tildis of Yaakov was Yosef. Meaning is that who was able to bring down the Union of Yaakov the most was the Union of Yosef, because Yaakov was the Inyan of Rachmanis, and Yosef was Yisoid, and he's the one that connects to Malchus, and ultimately the Shvatim are Makabel for the Inyan of Malchus. So Yosef was similar to the Abbas, that he was from the Olam Hatzilus, Masha'enkin, the other 11 Shvatim, which were part of the Olam Sabia, more connected to the Inyan of Malchus. So Yosef was the Inyan of Yisoid, which is the Inyan of Hatzilus, Masha'enkin, the other Shvatim were connected to the union of Nekeva, were connected to the union of Malchus. So we had the Malchus and how Malchus is drawn down into the lower world. So therefore, it makes sense that the Chlolis, by the count in general, it's Blush and Nekeva. By Leah and Zilpah, it's also Blush and Nekeva, because that was their level. Even Yehuda was the Bechina of Malchus. Malchus is the sphere of Nekeva, which is Blush and Nekeva. So even Yehuda, who was the greatest of the Shvatim, was, again, Blush was Malchus. Mashenk and Yosef. Therefore, by Yosef, by the Bnei Rachel, but first of all, Bnei Yosef himself, his two sons, is Shnayim. It mentions Blush and Zachar, because it's focusing on this idea that Yosef was Zachayim. And similarly, he says, since the Bnei Rachel, Be'ikram, is the level of Dechar, so that also was Nimshef to Rachel's maidservant, which was Bilah. So Rachel's maidservant, Bilah, also was Blush and Nekeva, Mash Enkin, Leah, which was Nekeva, her maidservant, which was Zilpah, was also Bechina of Nukva. The Rebbe brings into the Ara, Shulhi Gilian, that regarding Binyamin, that it says Binyamin had a connection to Yehuda. Yehuda was fighting for Binyamin. So the reasoning is, because Yehuda was Malchus, and Binyamin was the level of Malchus house within Zah. So he says, from this explanation, we see that Binyamin was connected to the union of Zah, because there's Yehuda, which is Malchus Bepael, and then we have Binyamin, which was the union of Malchus, how it's still within the Madregas of Zah, meaning is how it's still connected to Yosef. So Yosef and Binyamin are connected to Zah, so therefore the Bnei Rachel, in general, are Belashen Zachar, Mash Enkein, the Bnei Leah, are Belashen Nekeba. Fine. And this also connects now to those other two opinions in the Medrash that wanted to count Hushim and Serach. And as we explained, that means they're still counting Hashem and Yaakov. It's just that they're saying, who's number 70? Okay. Why is that important? Because we're trying to say, who's Mashlim the Minyan? Because they're saying, who's Mashlim? What the point is, the one who's being Mashlim is the one that's telling us what the focus of the 70 are. So those Midrashim are understanding, yes, that Yaakov and Hashem were part of it. But on the other hand, there was the second aspect, which was who is the end, who is the one that connected the 70th, which would have been connecting to Mitzrayim, had to be either Sarah Pasasha, again, she was the Nekeva, so that would have been the level of Malchus, and also Hushim ben Dan, because we know Dan was Ma'asik L'chol Machamis. He was the end of all the Shvatim, he was the one who gathered for all the Machamis. So again, that shows on the last level of Malchus. So therefore, that would be the opinion why he would have been counted as one of the 70. Val Pizev, we've answered some of the questions. We've explained the Sfarsa Machlaikis between the three opinions. We've also explained, we have not explained why Rashi Dafka chooses Yocheved, but we have explained, the first question. We also answered the third question, which was, why by Yocheved is it connected to more the idea of a Boya Mitzrayma, and so the Shluchayr, she should have been more connected to the idea of the Yerida and the Shibbut. So the explanation, Alpiza, is, it's because the idea of Yocheved was that she came to Mitzrayim. Meaning is that her purpose was to come to Mitzrayim and to elevate the Mitzrayim. But we still need to answer two more questions, which is, why does Rashi say that it's Yocheved? Why, and also why in the Pirkei Eliezer does it focus on the idea of Kol HaZachar? Regarding the fifth question, which was the Lashon Nekeva and some of the Lashon HaZachar, we already answered because it's really two different types of the Avodah. So we're going to see that, of course, Eli Ve'eli Divrei Elokim Chayim is that they're all true, and therefore you see Lashon Nekeva and Lashon Zachar, they're really the Machlokes and Medrash is what it was the focus of the 70, but Eilu Eilu Divichayim, Yilakim Chayim, all these things are of course true, and they need to have both Madregas, as we'll see. I'm going to do another shir from Siftes to the end.